Hello everyone, Chris Noyce here, again for another discussion about ACS issues. And as we're coming to the end of 2018, I've been joined by ACS Chief Executive James Lohman.
Hello.
And our Chairman, Patrick Sewell. Say hi, Patrick.
Hi there.
And we're just taking stock of some of the things that we've done throughout this year. And I suppose it's good to start with essentially what the core purpose of ACS is, that is lobbying, that is influence. And there's been some really big changes in policy and really significant wins for ACS and for retailers this year.
Yeah, it feels like we've been talking about business rates for ages, because we have. But the budget this year, you know, we often criticise politicians when they do things we don't like. And actually the measures in the budget were really good for our sector, particularly independent retailers, particularly those not on petrol forecourts, Patrick. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of those small retailers who were above the 12,000 rateable value threshold, but below 51,000 raceable value, and that's most convenience stores that aren't on forecourts have fallen into that category. One third off business rates for next year and the year after, and that is a really positive move. That's really meaningful in terms of the P&L of a lot of businesses. So that was a real result.
Yeah, and that's a positive step. But as we alluded to, Patrick, as a forecourt retailer, there is probably still more to be done on business rates because the system isn't quite yet fair, is it?
No, I speak to lots of people about that. It's a big issue for us. It's certainly probably our second biggest cost in our business, and it just feels that there's not much equality in it. That's the biggest dilemma, and it needs an overhaul. I think we probably all know that, but that's a lot bigger issue. And some of the things that have been done, I guess, recently are more like sticky plasters a little bit, just to sort things out.
And speaking of issues that are significant costs and will be rife for forecourt retailers such as yourself and lots of retailers is provision of cash machines. And we started this year with really quite a bleak situation for cash machines, and there has been some change on that this year.
Yeah, two things really. I mean, I think there are still a lot of challenges, but the first is the court case that the number of retailers won against the VOA, which says that external free-to-use cash machines should not be separately rated. And that was the case that the retailers won. Now, the VOA, we just heard, are going to appeal that, so we'll have to wait further for the conclusion of that. And that's really important in two ways, really. One is the massive and disproportionate rates applied to those ATMs shouldn't be seen going forward. But there's also a principle about rating different parts of a shop. So if you have a coffee machine or a food counter or separate parts that you might run in partnership with another business, as you would an ATM, it's the principle that shouldn't be separately rated. So that's really important, say, in practice and in principle. And it's a shame that that's going to be appealed. But, you'd rather have won the case and be facing the appeal rather than lost the case and be having to appeal to try and change that. So there's a positivity on that. And also the situation around Link. So Link announced towards the beginning of the year about reducing the interchange fees, which effectively fund free-to-use cash machines. And sadly, they went ahead with that in July. They're going ahead with it further in January. But they have announced that they're going to be postponing and reviewing future reductions in the interchange fee. And so I remember in the middle of the year doing lots of media work with you, Chris, and talking about this issue. And I'm glad that Link have listened. And it was really important now as they deliver on not making those reductions in interchange fees.
And that's especially important for our sector because, as we know, a lot of customers are still reliant on cash, and I guess in your business you probably see a lot of people still getting cash out but still using that service.
Very much. I mean, quite obviously to come and buy things in my shop, but just as much actually coming in a taxi en route for a night out and needing the cash and just using us as that drop off point. So yeah, it's a big issue. I think I've got a lot of respect for what the ACS executive done really in supporting various of these cases,
it's definitely progress, isn't it? It's as I say, it's a step in the right direction with ensuring that cash isn't just forgotten as a means of payment.
I think it's changed the landscape a bit. Again, just speaking more as a retailer in this instance, I guess the commerciality of it's changed so much, and so that's ultimately going to affect the retailer.
Yeah.
In so much as maybe the revenue that they get directly for the machine, never mind the actual the knock-on effect, the benefit of the customer as well.
Yeah.
So that's a real big landscape changer, really, for me.
And another area where I suppose we are attempting to change the landscape is around crime and response to crime. And specifically around responses to shop theft and engagement, not just with police forces, but higher up with PCCs and on specifically retailers being protected better when just doing their jobs, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I think I always sort of hesitate talking about crime and certainly talking about successes in relation to crime, because crime always has been the biggest operational challenge faced by members, but it has got worse, you know, and I think all the stats, not just our stats, but the official government statistics, other retail statistics, very clear that the problem of shop theft and violence in store is getting worse. And if there's one thing that keeps coming through is people prepared to do more for less, so greater acts of violence and threat for less financial reward. So I put that in context and in no way sort of saying, oh, I haven't done a great job, but we have done some really important things. And notably the Police and Crime Commissioner pledge that we launched in the middle of the year. That's got a lot of traction. There's a lot of police and crime commissioners about saying you cannot decriminalise or deprioritise shop theft. There are still way too many who are taking the announcing policies that they're not going to investigate shop theft, but we are getting some traction on that. The report we did with the Centre for Social Justice, looking at new ways of tackling offenders, and a lot of traction in Parliament on this as well. So I suppose the message from me is always, just keep working with us on this. There's not going to be a point where this changes and this problem goes away. But if we work together, we can influence the scale of the problem.
Mm. And Patrick, you work with a lot of large companies and small companies in the retail sector. And I guess crime has got to be right up there as one of the top three issues that you deal with and discuss in your business.
It's borderline number one, actually.
Right.
It's that important in our business. I think yes, they've approached it really well this year. I think they've listened big time to retailers and got first-hand experiences. I mean, around the country looking at things. And then, with my hat as being a retailer as well, it's the front line that bears the brunt of it. It's my cashiers. It pains me to say it, but I can stomach some of the damage to my property, but it's actually the ongoing issue in terms of how my staff are treated, really. And the police, they can be fantastic in some instances, but in other instances, left wanting, really. And so I guess the key word for that is engaging. And I think by trying to approach the PCCs and whatever other directly with the police in the community, really, is the right solution. So I think there seems to be a good platform looking into next year for that.
Yeah, and from my perspective, dealing with media on this, I definitely felt that there's been more of a groundswell of support from retailers and willing to speak out a bit more. I think in the past, perhaps retailers were a bit hesitant about talking about crime, and doing that publicly. And I think now that's changed. There is no doubt that stores are still a safe place to go, but there are problems, and that needs dealing with. A slight change in tack, and I'd be remiss not to mention wage costs as part of one of the policy issues that we deal with. I think there's significant employment costs rising over the next couple of years, but there is again progress in this area, and we've done a bit more in terms of getting some commitments from the Low Pay Commission over the last year. How have you seen employment costs change in your business, Patrick, and when you talk to other retailers as well?
I guess we've had some degree of clarity, even though we're not knowing the exact number, but the fact that we've been sort of heading towards 2020 with some realisation of how much it's going to get stepped up every year. And I think the recent figure, 4.95%, and similarly the previous year. So it's a big challenge. For every business it's different, but for me personally it's well in six figures. So that's not a number that I can just swallow and just get on with things. Yeah. I've got to fundamentally change things, either my cost base, re-looking at how I do things, productivity and the likes. I don't entirely disagree with the approach in terms of trying to improve pay across the sector, but it's.
I suppose really uncertainty is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you can get certainty in the long term, then it enables you to plan a bit better.
And that's what I was encouraged by, and people may see this as a small thing or just a tonal thing, but the Chancellor at the budget was talking about what happens after 2020, and now setting the policy for what happens beyond this. So 2019 is going to be a lot of work on working with governments on that policy. But it was a very sober tone about the economic evidence around setting the right rate, and that's a long way from some of the highly politicised language and rhetoric that we've seen in the past.
I can remember 18 months ago, almost to sort of name a number to for what minimum wage could be in 2020. And
absolutely.
Now it's definitely a bit more grounded in reality, which is good to see. Obviously, the Low Pay Commission are really important as part of that that wage setting process. And the Low Pay Commission were part of one of our films this year at Heart of the Community. It was a bit of a different feel at Heart of the Community this year, different venue, different kind of format. Patrick, you've been to plenty of Heart of the Communities over the year. How did it come across to you with a different kind of format and a bit of action from Tim Shipman giving what felt like the inside track on what's happening on another key issue about Brexit?
Yeah. Fantastic and scary all into one, I would suggest. The event itself, and much like many of the events really for the year, I thought was really good. I guess, how do you judge the event? The attendance to start with would be a really good figure. It was absolutely jam-packed. Lots of talk during and after the presentations. I thought the themes right the way through, it was spot on. Focus on crime again. Police Crime Commissioner spoke, which I took a lot from myself and learnings. So, I think it's just become a staple of the calendar now, really.
Yeah, I think it still stands out as that sort of best opportunity to talk directly to the people that are making the decisions and sort of hold them to account.
Yeah, lots of MPs turned up at the reception, which is a good sign as well that we're getting some traction. And
raised in the highest levels of Parliament about issues with the queue. So you'll be pleased to know that hopefully that's being dealt with.
Let's not go into the queue in, go on.
So one thing we didn't have to queue for and which was an actual launch as well as a sort of punny launch, was the local short report this year, which we had at the Space Centre on what could be the biggest screen that we'll ever present in front of.
Yeah, it's amazing. I looked very tiny in front of that, all the pictures.
And I think, again, local short report going from strength to strength and still, I guess, the shop window of the sector to say, how important it is.
Yeah, I guess another acid test of that really is when I see those stats come out every year, does it feel like my business? And it truly does, so I get a measure of what I'm doing in my business versus kind of what is industry norm, industry average elsewhere. So I've got some benchmarks and I can also, I guess, look at it from a gap analysis and things that I'm not doing as well and maybe opportunities I can look at.
Because that's a really interesting point, isn't it? It's about retailers potentially benchmarking their performance against, what the industry averages are, and there'll be some things where you're far and above and then some things where you think, actually, there's a missed opportunity.
The other thing that comes out of that report is it allows us to really build up a narrative. Why is the convenience store sector important? When we talk to government, why would they be bothered about trying to help convenience stores? And obviously we all think they should be because that's the industry we're in, but why should policy makers right now? And the local shop report gives us that narrative, which is about reach. So it shows where we trade, which is in often quite isolated areas where we're the only shop and the only business, and there's only service that's there. It's about the employment opportunities that we offer. And I think it's shown we're a really good example of flexible working. Flexible working that works for both sides, for the employer and the employee, local flexible working. So that's a really important part of the narrative as well. And also about change and investment. We track investment and that's remained very, very high and very solid levels. But what are we investing in? We're investing in diversifying our business. So you go to Patrick's Stores and you see Subways and you see other partnerships with other external brands, and you see some links with local suppliers, and you see some innovation on selling things like Massa Grape gin glasses and things like that. As I always said, I remember from the last time I went to one of Patrick's stores, and the political system, the regulatory system has to assist that change in development. But I think it's easy for politicians and the media to see it's quite old fashioned and to look at it in terms of everyone, ArcRight, I always talk about everyone is about the sector always has to mention ArcRight,
especially if you're writing the Times.
In the Times, it's absolutely compulsory. Yeah, but what the report really shows is look at the rate to we're changing, look at the way that our sector and their stores are changing. And so I enjoyed the whole local shop report experience and the value it gives to members. Obviously, that's one of the reasons we do it. But the message, the way it backs up a message to government, which I think is really positive and dynamic about our sector, that's really good.
And the sector is changing because I remember going to our main conference summit years ago when I first started ACS, and the content of summit then compared to the content this year, which again felt like a bit of a change, You know, it's things you wouldn't even necessarily think we'd be talking about. Things like AI, things like, you know, new technology, automation, all of these things that, you know, are right at the forefront of technological advancement, but still underpinned by that community feel. And I think Summit was the culmination of that, wasn't it? It was bringing together everything that's traditional about retail and everything that is exciting for the future.
Yeah, I think a guy from Wired magazine was you know, really surprised people and stimulated a lot of thought about what's not about. I think he said at the end, I'm not a futurist, I'm not saying what's going to happen. All the things I've talked about today are technology that exists.
Yeah.
And so I think it, you know, we have to face into some of those things. And that was backed up, you know, we took a group out to the Eurosys tech show in Dusseldorf, to a group of independent retailers. That was really useful and presented at the National Convenience Show on some of the findings from that. So I think it has, this year, I suppose, really marked a time where we were doing some different things to spark conversation about technology in our sector.
And those things are only possible with more engagement from retailers.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, what doesn't happen in ACS, I don't think, is that we stand up there as the experts on everything and say, this is what you must do. That's not how it works. We're about bringing people together to talk about it, because the expertise comes from outside the industry with people who just have a different perspective. And often it comes from your competitors and your colleagues in the industry who've tried things and succeeded and failed. And so it's that discussion where I think a lot of the value comes from.
I think that I'd be gushing again in terms of a compliment for the exec of the ACS, in so much as I think there've been some really brave decisions made there in terms of doing something different. I think so often it's kind of easy just to keep on doing the same conference, the same events and so on, because they've been successful over recent years. But actually, I think, you know, change tack, different approach, different venue with a summit, different styles and turn to some of the study tours. And I think that the proof is in the pudding in terms of the attendance and the comments that we're getting back.
And you mentioned study tours there. We had some great study tours in the UK and out of Milan. I was part of some of the filming before Summit in Milan, and that felt like probably one of the biggest study tours we've ever had. I don't know the exact numbers, but really successful. And that's just about, you know, looking at the things that are here now, but also that opportunity that you don't get anywhere else to talk to the leaders of the sector.
Where else can you go on a study tour in Hull and a study tour in Milan?
Of equal value.
Absolutely.
Well.
People don't like Milan as a place, though. Yeah. They're much further, I think.
Yeah, I mean, every time we've picked a venue for one of the European study tours, you know, there's a theme again. And I was reflecting on it myself a little bit, thinking that you probably expect this of Milan. I think it was a bit of theatre and design in some of the stores, which seems consistent with Milan and fashion. But technology as well, some really sort of cutting edge technology, which you could argue whether it's got the legs to be developed elsewhere, but it's a starting point.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing about the study tours is it's about, you know, learning from each other as well, isn't it? About sharing ideas, and you know, I'm guilty of going into a store sometimes and thinking this is the most brilliant idea ever, and then someone else saying, well, actually, probably not very practical in the UK.
Yeah, it's all works. Yeah.
So, yeah. As I'm sure some people who've put orders in for robots will find out.
Well, who knows? Who knows?
I think it's the eclectic nature of sort of throwing so many people, 70, 80 people together. It's not a formal format. It's not premeditated. It's just a case of so many people just mixing and matching and getting into different conversations. And there's so much learning, you know, as much as anything, it's actually from each other.
And I want to just stay on that learning point, because we were looking at other ways in which we can help retailers learn from each other and look at best practice. And one of the things we did, which is again a new thing for us this year, is take a much more active role in sponsorship of awards, specifically working with the Food Foundation on their Peas Please project about helping people to eat healthily. And healthy eating is obviously a massive issue, not just this year, but next year, and I'm sure the years to come. And there is a real role for our sector to play in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are some of the best examples of retailers offering great, brilliant, healthy eating is in convenience. You know, we've got some of the best options because of that reach we've got though in the sector, that we're in villages, housing estates, but you just don't have a lot of other retail provision. We probably get a bit more attention from governments who are saying, well, how can we serve these perhaps underserved communities and make a healthy offer available to them? And so that's an opportunity. And it's somewhere where people look to the sector to do more. So yeah, we've partnered with the Please Please program, which is about promoting vegetable consumption. And it's a totally new thing for us. We sponsored three awards at the Retail Industry Awards, Convenience Retailing Awards, and the HIM Awards. And I think it's just a really good way of raising the profile around Please Please as a brand, as a campaign, and also talking about these issues around promoting healthy eating, the opportunities there for our sector. So I thought it was a really, really positive thing to do, and a new one for us. And we'll continue to work with Please Please over the coming year. Work on things like Healthy Start. That's something that's just come out of that. So yeah, it's been really positive.
And on Healthy Start, there's coming soon. Actually, there's a new animation on Healthy Start of helping retailers get to grips with what they need to do to offer Healthy Start vouchers. And that's one of three that we've done this year as well. The others being on carrier bags and carrier bag charging, and also managing violence and abuse in convenience stores. Patrick, for yourself and I suppose for your staff as well, those different formats and ways of getting that information, how useful is that in the business just to be able to say, okay, here's a short video which will just give you all the things you need to know about this?
Yeah, I think sort of hit the nail on the head, really. It's a case of you've got to do different things for different people. Not if I think I've got a solution in terms of my internal engagement and communication, and I do one thing, it suffices for a proportion of my business. So it's different things for different people, and I think that the introduction of some of the animations early on in the year were really good because it was just simple and short, and even down to what we're doing here now. It's kind of we're trying to do something different to get a message across to different people. And it feels like it's sinking in, and it's been taken real positively.
Absolutely. And there are a couple of other initiatives that we just sort of almost go on under the radar. There's a partnership with Crime Stoppers about offering rewards. And if anything, we don't ever really want to talk about that because it means that we don't have to offer a reward. But it's there as a protection for retailers in helping them to get convictions. But also around community alcohol partnerships, which have been extremely successful in a lot of areas, and it is still growing as a
thing. Yeah, I'll be moving quick on this, but both really important things. So where the worst happens and a retailer is or a member of staff is killed or is injured, it has life-threatening injuries, in those cases we will support or make available a reward through Crime Stoppers. Where the police want it, obviously, if it doesn't help the police investigation, obviously we wouldn't do that. Where the police want it. And what we've learned over the years is the purpose of rewards isn't necessarily you rarely pay them out. It's about raising profile.
Yeah.
It's about raising the profile for the police so they can, in that campaign locally, it gets more traction. So that has been successful, and that has been the case since over a number of years. So it's something we'd like to never do again. And this year we haven't, despite talking about crime, which obviously has grown as an issue. We haven't had to issue one of those awards so far this year, but we certainly would if the police wanted it in an appropriate case. And then your community alcohol partnerships, which again, you go back a few years and we had huge issues with perception around our sector and underage sales. You know, we're seen as being where kids got alcohol from. And we worked with lots of other organisations to form community alcohol partnerships, make a big contribution to it every year. I'm on the board of community alcohol partnerships. And in a way, like I say about referees, isn't it? That you notice them a little bit by their by what you don't see rather than what you do see, and if they're doing well. And the amount of questions you now get in Parliament and public negativity about local shops as the place where kids get alcohol, you don't hear that so much these days because it's not true so much these days.
I think it's illustrative of just how diverse we are as a sector and as an association, that the amount of things that we have to get involved in. And again, I think it's testament to the ACS that just how we've got to lead by example in the sector. As James said earlier on, that we don't know all the answers to it. It's a team event of retailers and the association together to get the best result. But by leading by example in all these initiatives on health and crime are really, really important.
Absolutely, and to pick up on what you said there about not necessarily knowing all the answers, but we can attempt to plan as best we can for the future, even given that we deal with a lot of government issues there, that seems to change by the week at the moment. But into next year there are some big things that we know are going to be a top agenda on that.
Yeah, I mean, one I was reluctant to say for a couple of reasons. One is everyone's talking about it, and secondly there's a vote very shortly which will maybe to some extent determine what happens next, obviously Brexit. And we could find ourselves within, at the end of March, having a seismic event in, I forget politics, but in business and the supply chain and markets and the economy. I mean, it could be a huge, particularly, obviously, I'm referring particularly to no deal. But whatever happens, however it comes about, it's a massive change that affects our members as retailers, a whole range of products that are sourced from all sorts of different places. So that's obviously going to be massive. I think the two things I flag up for next year would be policy around the environment. You know, we talked this year, a lot of work this year, about deposit return schemes, plastic generally. So lots of issues around that. And I think also food policy. And I mentioned Peace Please and the positive work we've been doing around promoting vegetable consumption and fresh and healthy food. There is pressure from government around the sale of less healthy food or food that's seen to be contributing to childhood obesity. So we can expect interventions on that. We're already involved in a lot of policy debate, and I expect those three issues to be among the headlines for next year.
And Patrick, does that tally with what you're planning in your business for next year?
It does. Uncertainty is not good for business.
Sure.
Not good for the UK PLC. The only thing that maybe adding to what James has just said there is employment and recruitment. It's I think most retailers...
Is that as a result of Brexit? Or
It's just the dynamics of the economy at the moment, and I dare say that there's an element of that that is Brexit related. It just feels it's going to get tougher and tougher. If we thought it was hard 2 years ago, it's been tough this year, I think next year's going to be harder again. And again, retailers have got to somewhat look after themselves. They've got to position themselves as being good employers and put themselves in a good place, because we're not just fighting in the retail sector, we're fighting really against the hospitality trade and other sectors as well for the same individuals.
Yeah, and I suppose just to close that off, I mean, we are absolutely competing with more and more different business types, and that, you know, that has its own challenges but also potential rewards as well.
Competing for customers, competing for people in the business, competing for talent, competing for funding. So absolutely. Yeah, sure. And really, because all of this tries to paint a positive picture for the future, to encourage that investment in the offer, in people, and in the business.
Okay, well, we'll draw this to a close now. I think that discussion about next year, I think that warrants its own discussion separately to this. So in the next few weeks, we'll be having a more detailed breakdown of what we think is coming next year, what the key issues are, and some of the ways that retailers can get involved. But for now, we'll leave you to enjoy the rest of your 2018.